Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets for this Friday. The comment period on a proposed CFTC rule aimed at curbing excessive speculation on the prices of raw materials and agricultural products ended yesterday. The proposed rule has drawn criticism from industry groups which contend the restrictions could hinder their ability to protect themselves against risks ranging from variation in product quality to market volatility. A spokesperson for the CFTC says that the comments will be reviewed by staff, but says there is no time frame for a vote by the commissioners. The Commodity Markets Council, an industry group whose members include ADM and Cargill, as well as exchange operators such as CME Group, has sent a letter to the CFTC urging it to consider a company's future sales of raw materials, not just current sales, as a needed hedge and not speculation. McDonald's Corporation on Friday posted a worse-than-expected 21% drop in earnings in its December quarter. The company has been losing customers to fast casual chains and to such rivals as Five Guys Holdings LLC and Chick-fil-A Incorporated that focus on just a few menu items. Overall, McDonald's reported a profit of $1.1 billion, or $1.13 a share, down from $1.4 billion, or $1.40 a share a year earlier. Revenue fell 7.3% to $6.57 billion as global same-store sales dropped 0.9%. Same-store sales in its U.S. division fell by 1.7%. This morning, USDA reported to us the export sales for the week ending January the 15th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 16.8. Next year, 3.9. Corn this year, 86.0. Soybeans this year, 0.5. And next year, 3.7. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,698, down 39 points. The NASDAQ 4256, down 8. The S&P 500, 2050, and it is down 6 points.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Snow and a little bit of rain will fall this weekend in the Midwest. Most of the precipitation will occur from Minnesota into Ohio and parts of Michigan and Indiana. These areas will pick up on some snow as well as a little bit of rain. Snow accumulations will run from a dusting upwards to 3 or 4 inches. On the southwest side of this region, we'll likely see a little bit of light rainfall, but the further west you go, the more insignificant the precipitation will become, and there will be many areas in the western Corn Belt and parts of the central and northern plains that will be precipitation-free. Today, the question was posed to me as to when it will start precipitating again in the western Corn Belt and portions of the central plains. The answer to that is going to be a little bit later, mostly in the spring season. We'll likely see a frequent occurrence of precipitation. These areas that have been drying down in recent weeks will continue doing so for a while, but we will eventually get back into a pattern that's much more active and will bring on precipitation to many of these areas that have been drying out recently. In the meantime, the storm system that occurred the past 2 days in the southern U.S. plains will continue to ease up and move off out of the region. A few lingering showers this morning in some of that southern plains region, but most of the precipitation today will be mostly confined to southern and eastern parts of the U.S. Delta and the southeastern states. Back here in the Midwest, at least today and early tomorrow, we're not expecting much precipitation to occur. As we move on out towards the end of the weekend, early next week, of course, we have that snow event to deal with. And then after that, we'll probably experience at least a short-term bout of somewhat drier weather, but a reinforcing shot of precipitation will work its way across some of the areas as we move through the early to middle part of next week. Now, that follow-up disturbance is not likely to be very meaningful for the majority of the region. We will expect it to produce some light amounts of precipitation, but for the most part, it will be a rain and snow event that will follow somewhat similarly to that which occurs this weekend across portions of the northern and central Midwest. And as we get towards that event, we'll probably find temperatures a bit warmer ahead of it rather than cooler, and so we should see a little bit higher percentage of rainfall with that event rather than seeing as much snow as we're going to see here Saturday into Sunday. After that, another period of drier and warmer weather will likely evolve. There'll be a new shot of cool air coming into the Midwest, though in the middle to latter part of next week, that may bring on some precipitation and definitely colder temperatures. Will be warmer than usual until then. It looks like the highs across the region here for the next couple of days will bounce around a bit. The snow event this weekend will hold temperatures back. We'll look for highs here today, mostly in the 30s and lower 40s across the region. High temperatures on Saturday will also be 30s and 40s for the most part. A few 50s will show up in the southwestern Corn Belt, though. It looks like temperatures on Sunday will be a little bit colder, 20s and 30s in the north. We'll still see 30s and 40s occurring in southern areas, and that'll still be the rule probably on Monday as well. Our low temperatures at night are expected to fall back into teens and 20s quite often as we move forward through this next week or so. The majority of the temperatures will not be any colder than that until after we get to the end of next week, when I think we will see it start seeing some single digits and teens back across northern parts of the region. The south will be somewhat milder still. It'll take a lot longer for the colder air to work its way in those areas, and it'll be late next week before that can take place. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
The 26th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. We have Sue Martin presenting a keynote address on commodities. All of our on-air analysts will forecast corn and soybean futures, cash grain, and answer whatever else is on your mind. And Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values. Cost for the March 10th meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Get your tickets today by calling 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. Let's see how futures are currently trading. March corn is 385 and a half, up 1 3/4. July, 401, up 1 3/4. December, 415 and a quarter, up 2. March beans, 969 and a half, down 7 and a quarter. July, 981 and a half, down 7 and a quarter. November, 956 down 5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave.
I suppose we should really take a look at the outside markets, especially that U.S. dollar index, which shot sharply higher overnight. Up till now, the comfort level has been pretty good for corn, foreign people to purchase. And they did purchase a bunch of corn,
yep.
86 million metric tons last week. But going forward, if the dollar goes higher, will that continue?
It's going to struggle, Dave. And you know, we're fortunate that we are still the cheapest game in town, even with this dollar rally. Like you said, we're now hitting 11-year highs. I mean, we're just in all new levels. But, you know, China's appetite and everybody's appetite on corn has been surprisingly strong and has allowed that market to stay together, even as soybeans have actually crashed in the last 2 weeks. But I think you're probably looking at this week's number being high in the short term for export sales, Dave, simply because we're going to kick ourselves out of competition here pretty quick.
I think maybe people were looking at that dollar rally and thinking it was going to continue when they were getting out in front of it.
Jumping ahead of the game, kind of pre-hedging, so to say, from an elevator perspective. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's going to struggle. Not surprising to see what's happened to soybeans. You know, very front-end loaded on the demand side there. In fact, there's more cancellations that China had is with a cargo or two that we're even going to see in next week's report. So next week's soybean sales, as we stay on that discussion, will lag and keep pressure on the beans too.
The other big outside influence could have been the death of Saudi Arabia's king, but oil prices didn't act quite as volatile as one might expect it overnight.
That's correct. That oil market's kind of been a beast of its own, and it's been real interesting to see after his death what this thing is going to do. But again, we've kind of been discussing in our meetings with farmers that with this crude oil market doing what it's doing, it may cause a hiccup in ethanol usage and maybe bring the corn market down. And there again, that has not been the case. So corn has been surprisingly strong, even with a couple of these things, like you mentioned, exports and crude oil. That could weigh on it, but yet we've had tremendous support every time they try to bring her back down.
Thank you very much, Ed.
You bet. Thanks, Dave.
Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. March corn, 386 up 2.5, 86.25 now. July, 401.75 up 2.5. March beans, 970.75 down 6. July, 982.75 down 6. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.